WTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. And friends, the issues are coming hot and heavy. And we're going to be sharing some of those issues with you, as there are some significant matters that many things that are going on simultaneously. The Democratic National Convention getting underway here today, and lots of COVID things in the news. So we're going to update you on both of these issues here today, beginning with the Democratic National Convention. As CNN Business points out, that the Democrats' virtual convention, featuring hundreds of live feeds from across the country, four stages are being set up in New York City, Los Angeles, Milwaukee, and Wilmington, Delaware. The entire convention is going to be virtual. In essence, the convention will be all virtual. MCs will lead the evening's two-hour program, people broadcasting primarily out of the Los Angeles studio, according to a source. There's going to be live speakers from across the country every night, and they're going to have different themes and symbolic locations. ABC's John Verhovic reported that the Democrats plan to structure the first night of the convention around a trio of crises gripping the nation. Those are COVID-19, the recession, and the national reckoning over racial injustice. The Daily Beast likened the convention to the DNC's most important Zoom meeting ever. Well, according to the Patch.com out of Milwaukee, the 2020 DNC kicks off with speeches today by First Lady Michelle Obama, former First Lady, I should say, Senator Bernie Sanders, Governors Andrew Cuomo, and Gretchen Whitmer will join Senators Catherine Cortez Masto, Doug Jones, Amy Klobuchar in opening remarks. President Bill Clinton and AOC will headline the second day of the convention. They'll be sharing screen time with the Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, former presidential candidate John Kerry, and others. Wednesday, presumptive Democratic vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris will deliver the speech. Wednesday night speakers will include former First Lady and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senator Elizabeth Warren. Final night of the convention, Vice President Joe Biden will accept the Democratic nomination. Milwaukee was named as the site for this convention back in March of 2019, beating out both Miami and Houston. Milwaukee was expecting a windfall, financial amounts ranging between $200 and $300 million, economic impact. 50,000 people were said to travel to southeast Wisconsin. Then came the pandemic, forcing convention organizers to reduce and reduce and reduce and revamp the convention. Then it was late June. The organizers told the delegates, stay home. Delegations, stay home. The convention was then moved from the Fiserv Forum. That's a new 18,000-seat arena that was built for the Milwaukee Bucks just a year ago, moving it to a 20-year-old convention center downtown, the Wisconsin Center. Then we had August 5th. The party leaders announced that even the presidential candidate himself, Joe Biden, would not be coming to the city of the convention. DNC officials also said all convention speakers were expected to speak from remote locations and virtually going, all virtual. There's a predetermined number of delegates that is going to be voting for the nominee for president of the U.S. There's also this unpledged superdelegates who will be participating in this as well. And then, according to latest figures for the 2020 DNC, they have 3,768 pledged delegates and approximately 764 unpledged or superdelegates that will be participating. The WND.com tells us in an appearance last week with Biden, after he picked her, Kamala Harris noted that the president's mismanagement of the pandemic has plunged us into the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. All of this, folks, is the president's fault. Remember that? We were told, yeah, the Wuhan virus is now been called the Trump virus. He's the one to blame. And we're experiencing a moral reckoning with racism and historic injustice that has brought a new coalition of conscience to the streets of our country demanding change. That's what Kamala Harris is saying. All of the riots on the streets, the mayhem that we've been seeing, the burning of buildings, the shootings, the killings, the mayhem, she calls it a coalition of conscience. Western Journal is reporting that according to the New York Post, footage from the Wednesday demonstration shows protesters marching through an unidentified residential neighborhood, harassing residents, informing them it's high time to turn over their leases and or mortgages to folks more oppressed than they are. In one clip of the protests posted to Twitter, protesters are chanting Black Lives Matter when the chant leader stops to ask, "How about you give us your homes?" It's hard to tell whether he said give us or give up your homes. Means the same. One of the other protesters then steps out of the Greek chorus there in order to deliver a special mantra there why white people shouldn't be living there. Newsmax tells us that a major theme of the convention this week will be President Donald Trump's handling of the coronavirus pandemic. Here's a quote. They say Donald Trump is responsible for the worst failure of presidential leadership in modern history and still to this day has yet to implement the national plan. Folks, haven't they been listening? Haven't they been monitoring what's going on from the White House? He chants the 160,000 people left millions of Americans out of work and fighting for their livelihoods. This is President Donald Trump's fault, who says, let's get the economy going, let's get working again. Well, the Trump campaign, they've made it official. President Trump being in Oshkosh, Wisconsin today to give remarks about Joe Biden's failures on jobs and the economy. That is going to be at a flight service in Oshkosh. It's by Whitman Airport, where EAA is held. The president also plans to travel to Mankato, Minnesota, today and to Yuma, Arizona tomorrow. Newsmax also tells us that just hours before Joe Biden is to give his acceptance speech, as part of the strategy, President Trump is planning to give a speech in the key swing state of Pennsylvania Thursday, the same day that Joe Biden is to give his acceptance speech. The president's speech is going to be held at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And scheduled to deliver remarks on a half century of Joe Biden failing America in Old Forge, Pennsylvania, just hours before Biden is expected to give his speech from Delaware to accept the party nomination. President Trump signaled in an interview Thursday that he would make a strong appeal to win over voters of his native state of New York. Such a victory would make him the first Republican nominee to win that state since Ronald Reagan in 1984. He said he would push to win the Democratic stronghold, saying over the last 6 months, what's happened is insane. It's insane, so we're going to try very hard to win New York, and that would be the first time since Ronald Reagan. A surge in violent crime, the state's handling of the coronavirus pandemic has hit New Yorkers, especially in New York City, hard. President Trump told the Post that he wants to offer New Yorkers lower taxes and safe streets. An interesting story. I saw it at Newsmax, but it's been in other locations, too. Former President Barack Obama has privately raised concerns over the ability of Joe Biden to beat President Donald Trump on the election day, Politico reports. Obama has raised doubts over Biden's chances to other Democrats. Politico supports the former president is worried that Biden doesn't have a strong connection with the electorate. Meanwhile, as we have seen all this going on, we saw the Ronald McDonald House in Chicago, windows smashed there as the protests were going on. We just had a five-year-old child killed, struck in the head with a bullet during some protests down south. Well, now we have Representative Presley, part of the squad, calling on Americans to crank up the unrest in the streets. She was in a weekend interview on MSNBC. She said, make the phone call, send the email, show up. You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives. Again, she's a member of the squad, which looks like, ladies and gentlemen, that squad presence is going to expand in the U.S. House of Representatives. But she was talking about the Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, who she said should resign for corruption. The USPS Inspector General reportedly initiated an investigation last week after a group of eight Senate Democrats led by Senator Elizabeth Warren demanded it look into changes that has made this, the for slow mail delivery. Also, let's see, we have, was it Nancy Pelosi that is calling the House back into session again? Calling the House back in from their August recess? Congressional Democrats yesterday demanded the Postmaster General and Chairman of the Postal Service testify before Congress, talking about the sweeping, dangerous operational changes at the agency. Nancy Pelosi and the Oversight Committee chairs demanding that they come into the Capitol to testify. By the way, the United States Postal Service, they have warned some 46 states and also Washington, D.C., saying we can't guarantee that all ballots cast by mail are going to arrive in time to be counted in the November election. This constitutes a grave threat to the integrity of the election and to our very democracy, they wrote, referring to the warning from the USPS. And very troubling indeed. Democrats want to call for DeJoy and the chairman of the U.S. Postal Service Board of Governors, Robert Duncan, to testify during an urgent hearing before a committee on August the 24th. And meanwhile, as we mentioned, Nancy Pelosi has summoned her members back to Washington, D.C., CNSNews.com tells us, calling them back this week to vote on Delivering for America Act that will bar the Postal Service from making changes to its delivery service that it had in place prior to January 1 of 2020, calling them back in to deal with that issue. By the way, there is a 110-page Biden-Sanders unity plan that was released, that was in July. Some of the key word searches, here's the writer of an article on LifeSiteNews.com, in which the writer is indicating they did a lot of word searches that show a lot of interesting results. For example, God is never mentioned in the document, not once. As for religion, it's found one time, specifically in the section dealing with private schools. It reads this: prohibit the disbursement of federal funds to organizations or providers that discriminate based on race, sex, religion, disability, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, or immigration status. As for the word faith, it occurs four times. Two of those are in the phrase bad faith. The other two clearly refer to the Islamic faith, such as in banning people from traveling to the United States based on their faith or country of origin. That's repeated a couple of times. There are three references to Muslims, none to Christians or Jews. In stark contrast to their absence of references to God, the word transgender is in there a number of times. Gender 22 times, transgender twice. We will act expeditiously to reinstate Department of Education guidance protecting transgender students. They found LGBTQ plus mentioned 17 times in this plan. Religion mentioned once, Christian, Jew, and God not mentioned at all, but LGBTQ plus mentioned some 17 times. As for abortion, yep, that's in there as well. And so this is all in anticipation. This is the Biden and Bernie Sanders unity plan. It comes all in anticipation of the official Democratic platform that plan that promises to overturn pro-life federal and state laws, repeal the Hyde Amendment, and seek to codify Roe v. Wade. We'll have some more on the convention and then COVID after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how long does it take to make oil?
Chris, oil is the altered remains of organic molecules. These are primarily hydrogen and carbon, and after death they can metamorphose into hydrocarbon oil. It doesn't take long. In fact, there are a number of ways to rapidly convert organic material into oil, but all of them are rather expensive and inefficient. However, if water is injected into the organic material, then the process is much more efficient and quick. This reminds me of the great flood of Noah's day when excessive heat and pressures combined with lots of waters to act on the abundant living things which were destroyed by the flood. Chris, it all fits. Even the difficult questions like the origin of oil can best be answered from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Well, we have updates today in the DNC convention as well as the coronavirus, and more of that to come here in this segment. By the way, last Thursday there was this 19th represents 2020 virtual summit. Hillary Clinton was speaking there, and there was a Q&A session, and she would ask if she would serve in a role in a Biden administration were he elected. And she said, quote, "I'm ready to help in any way I can." Could be that she would become Secretary of State once again. By the way, after Kamala Harris was received the presumptive nominee position selected by Joe Biden for the vice presidency, should he be elected, a number of agencies were looked at through the iVoter website, the iVoterGuide.com, and Kamala Harris, from conservative organizations, has an 11% rating. Some of those that have given her a zero rating are Concerned Women for America, FRC Action, National Right to Life, all 0%. But a number of organizations weighed in, 11% conservative average. Now, liberal organizations, she has a 96% liberal average. Some of those giving her a 100% include the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Human Rights Campaign, that's the activist LGBT organization, the National Education Association, and also Planned Parenthood as well. Speaking of abortion, there is an organization called Created Equal. They're a national organization that is anti-abortion, pro-life, and they are currently flying giant billboards over Milwaukee in response to the Democratic support for abortion. I caught up with Mark Harrington just about 2 hours ago and spoke with him by phone. Right now we have on telephone with us Mark Harrington, who is the president of Created Equal. Mark, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Mark, you are involved in getting a message out during the Democratic National Convention that's taking place in Milwaukee, kind of, sort of, because there's not many delegates here, but yet it's the focal point of the hub for the convention itself. Tell us exactly what you're doing this week as it relates to the convention.
Well, we're calling it the Vote Anti-Abortion Tour. We're visiting the key battlegrounds like Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, Minnesota before Election Day. And because the Democrat National Convention is here, at least virtually, and a lot of national media are here, we felt like we needed to spend some time here educating voters in Wisconsin about abortion.
What exactly are you doing to educate?
We are displaying abortion victim photography on the overpasses and walk bridges coming into the city. We're in the downtown squares. We're near the convention center as well with outreach displays, and we're flying a gigantic tow banner over the city that says "Vote Anti-Abortion" and it has a image of a 15-week aborted baby on the billboard.
I understand also you're getting out a message this week that unborn Black Lives Matter. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we also have banners that say unborn Black Lives Matter, and the point is that we believe all lives matter, including Black lives. It goes without saying. But often, unfortunately, what we see from the Black Lives Matter organization, that is the movement, they do not believe that all Black lives matter. In fact, they believe that unborn Black lives don't matter. They, in their platform, support abortion on demand. They support Planned Parenthood, which, of course, we know is a racist organization. The founder, Margaret Sanger, that disproportionately kills Black unborn babies across America by abortion.
Mark, tell us why you believe getting out this message is so critical for this year of 2020.
Well, when everybody's focused on other things, unfortunately, like COVID and this whole Black Lives Matter movement, the killing of George Floyd, it's even more important that we keep people focused on what's most important, that is the unborn and the killing of the unborn. We cannot have equality across the board if we don't protect the preborn. We need to treat the born like the preborn. We can't solve issues of race unless you solve the issue of abortion, because it is an injustice like we've never seen in America in our history. So we're doing our best to bring that to the attention of voters here in Wisconsin.
Mark Harrington of Created Equal, he is the president for the organization. If people want more information about who you are and what you're doing, how can they best reach your website or give us some contact information?
Yeah, they can simply go to createdequal.org. That's createdequal.org, and let us know what we can do to help them get the message out that abortion is an act of violence to kill the baby.
Mark, thank you for being with us today.
Well, God bless you.
That was Mark Harrington from Created Equal, who is in Milwaukee here for the convention. And in a press release that they sent out this morning, gave some shocking facts about abortion in the African-American community. While blacks make up 13% of the total U.S. population, they account for close to 40% of all abortions in the country. That's staggering. A black baby is 25 times more likely to be killed than a white baby. Nationally, black women have the highest ratio of abortions to live births, 474 abortions per 1,000 live births of any group in the country. Folks, isn't that amazing? Is this why Planned Parenthood goes into minority neighborhoods? I'm just asking. Black Lives Matter doesn't care about all black lives, said Mark Harrington, president of Created Equal. Pro-abortion activists at Black Lives Matter, along with those at Planned Parenthood, ignore hundreds of thousands of black unborn babies that Planned Parenthood abortionists kill every year. How does all this fit together, even with COVID? There's a kind of a bridging story that comes from LifeNews.com. Liberal billionaire George Soros told Italian newspaper La Repubblica in an interview that he described the virus as a revolutionary moment when the range of possibilities is much greater than in normal times, according to the Washington Times. Soros continued, what is inconceivable in moral and normal times, because not only possible but actually happens, people are disoriented and scared. The Times summarized that Soros hopes that the COVID-19 crisis has opened up politics in a radical direction. You see, you never let a crisis go to waste. It's all about this. As he said, this is a revolutionary moment when the range of possibilities is much greater than in normal times. I want to just share a few stories of things that are going on. And then, folks, don't leave, because I've got the most amazing story how a professor is calling for a psychoactive pill. A psychoactive pill that should be covertly administered to ensure lockdown compliance. You've got to hear that story. Let's first understand some of the things going on. Some of this is just atrocious, folks. New York City, this is Western Journal. New York City's annual light display in honor of the victims of 9/11, the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack, has been canceled. This light display is canceled over fears of spreading the coronavirus. However, a Black Lives Matter display allowed to be painted by a large group of people in the city in July, that was not only allowed but encouraged. The two beams of vertical light that have traditionally been set up in Lower Manhattan will not be displayed this year because of fears that the novel coronavirus could spread to the workers needed to create the display, the Wall Street Journal reported. Isn't it amazing? Workers are doing all kinds of jobs all over this country. And yet, this display meant to honor the victims of 9/11 and to remember Islamic terrorist attack upon our nation. These two beams of vertical light are not going to be displayed. The world's beloved twin beams of light regrettably will not shine over Lower Manhattan as part of this year's tributes to commemorate 9/11. Michael Frazier, Memorial and Museum spokesman, said in a statement, instead of the tribute in light, memorial buildings across the city will be lit in blue. The annual live recitation of the names of the victims of the 2001 Twin Tower attacks and the 93 World Trade Center bombing also canceled. Instead, they're going to have a pre-recorded broadcast of 9/11 family members reading the names at the 9/11 Memorial Plaza. The cancellation of the event is ironic given the fact that just over a month ago, a large group of people, including, and by the way, when there were more COVID cases a month ago, a large group of people, including New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, gathered outside Trump Tower to paint Black Lives Matter on the street in large yellow letters. That is okay, but we just can't have workers putting together the two beams of light in memorial of the lives lost and the Twin Towers which stood. Western Journal also reporting, after growing tired of watching elected officials demand they operate at a capacity that's unsustainable for food service locations, 200 restaurateurs in Pennsylvania are staging a revolt. The owners intend to save their business by opening at a larger capacity with some added safety measures. KDKA-TV reported the so-called restaurant revolution began Friday with dozens of restaurants opening at more than 25% capacity in defiance of Democratic Governor Tom Wolf's orders. Participating restaurants instead further opened their dining rooms by using guidelines from the CDC, saying we've had enough of this. Michigan, amazing what's going on down there, as Western Journal tells us that a month-old request from a Michigan hospital for emergency use authorization to treat COVID-19s with hydroxychloroquine has been denied by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The Detroit area Henry Ford Health System requested to use the anti-malarial drug on a group of patients meeting very specific criteria. They made that request July 6, MLive reported. The FDA denied the hospital's request last week. Dr. Adnan Mankara, the system's executive vice president and chief clinical officer, confirmed in a Thursday statement. Last month, Henry Ford Health Systems published a study in the International Journal of Infectious Diseases that found hydroxychloroquine helped patients survive COVID-19 while in the hospital. Listen to this. Researchers studied a group of 2,541 hospitalized patients and found mortality rates were substantially reduced when patients were treated with hydroxychloroquine. The study found that 13% of patients that were treated with hydroxychloroquine died, compared to 26.4% not treated with the drug. It's amazing. Schools. Here we have from the Daily Wire. Arizona School District has been forced to cancel a planned Monday reopening after more than 100 teachers called in sick. We received an overwhelming response from staff indicating they do not feel safe returning to the classrooms with students. J.O. Combs Unified School District Superintendent Gregory Wyman sent a statement. In response, we've received a high volume of staff absences from Monday, citing health and safety concerns. Due to the insufficient staffing levels, schools will not be able to reopen Monday as planned. The future of the school year unknown. Folks, it's all about the kids. That's what we hear all the time. District said all classes, including virtual learning, would be canceled. Arizona Central reported of the 600 employees in the district, approximately 250 are teachers. Shouldn't that tell you something right there, folks? 600 employees in the district, approximately 250 are teachers. Of those, 109 certified staff had put in for absences on Monday. The move comes after teachers from two other Phoenix area districts announced earlier this week they would resign or sit out of classes in protest. School districts across the country, you're told, are facing an exodus of students to private schools opening for in-person learning and homeschooling. This is from Ricochet.com. Corey DeAngelis, the director of school choice for The Reason, found data is not looking good for public schools. Over the weekend, homeschool filings are up 129%. In one area, and 128%. That's in Virginia, 128% in Wisconsin. Folks, we got to tell you about the psychoactive pill after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words "in the beginning" all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America with so much going on. Today has a dual topic, both of the DNC convention getting underway here today and this week, and then also matters going on with COVID-19. And just earlier today, received an email from Twyla Braze at Citizens Council for Health Freedom, and they believe the public is not aware of a possible backfire of a COVID-19 vaccine and even the possible harm of a nationwide vaccine mandate. May 12, 2020, Dr. Fauci testified before a U.S. Senate that there are two major unknowns. First, he said there's no guarantee a COVID-19 vaccine will work, and second, it could backfire, strengthening the virus. She explained about that, but some vaccine proponents are skipping public relations campaign altogether and have called for mandatory vaccination and government penalties that deny access to services and non-essential government benefits to those who refuse, eliminating any exemptions for religious or personal beliefs. Proponents want the unvaccinated banned from airplanes, buses, trains. They want everyone to provide evidence of immunization to enter public and private auditoriums and spaces. Folks, it's amazing what is being pushed for a mandatory vaccination. Now listen to this. This came from LifeSiteNews.com last Thursday, and I saw the documentation behind it, where a U.S. professor is proposing a psychoactive pill that could be covertly administered to ensure lockdown compliance. It's called a chemical moral enhancement substance that could help people reason about the right thing to do and find out what it is to do. This is a Professor Parker Crutchfield. Listen to this. He's an ethics professor at Western Michigan University, advocating for the promotion of psychoactive morality pills in order to alter the behavior of those skeptical of lockdown regulations, suggesting that such drugs could be made compulsory or administered secretly via the water supply. The article is published earlier this week in The Conversation. It's a news site focusing on content sourced from the academic and research community and supported by universities from around the world. The Conversation, again, and I'm looking right from theconversation.com, morality pills may be the U.S.'s best shot at ending the coronavirus pandemic, according to one ethicist. Now, one has to question those ethics. That's my opinion. Again, this is Peter Crutchfield. He's an associate professor of medical ethics, humanities, and law at Western Michigan University. COVID-19, this is August 10th. COVID-19 is a collective risk. It threatens everyone, and we all must cooperate to lower the chance that the coronavirus harms any one individual. Selfish and self-defeating behavior undermines the pursuit of something from which everyone can benefit. Democratically enacted enforceable rules mandating things like mask wearing and social distancing might work if defectors could be coerced into adhering to them. But not all states have opted to pass them or to enforce the rules that are in place. He says, my research in bioethics focuses on questions like how to induce those who are non-cooperative to get on board with doing what's best for the public good. To me, it seems the problem of coronavirus defectors could be solved by moral enhancement. Like receiving a vaccine to beef up your immune system, people would take a substance to boost their cooperative, pro-social behavior. Could a psychoactive pill be the solution to the pandemic? It's a far-out proposal that's bound to be controversial, but one I believe is worth at least considering, given the importance of social cooperation in the struggle to get COVID-19 under control. The column goes on to say, but I believe society may be better off, both in the short term as well as the long, by boosting not the body's ability to fight off disease, but the brain's ability to cooperate with others. What if researchers developed and delivered a moral enhancer rather than an immunity enhancer? Folks, that paragraph is so vital, I want to read it again. He said, I believe society may be better off, both in the short term as well as the long, by boosting not the body's ability to fight off disease, but the brain's ability to cooperate with others. What if researchers developed and delivered a moral enhancer rather than an immunity enhancer? Moral enhancement is the use of substances to make you more moral. The psychoactive substances act on your ability to reason about what the right thing to do is, or your ability to be empathetic or altruistic or cooperative. These substances interact directly with the psychological underpinnings of moral behavior. Others that may make you more rational could also help. Then perhaps the people who chose to go maskless or flout social distancing guidelines would better understand that everyone, including them, is better off when they contribute and rationalize that the best thing to do is cooperate. There are, of course, pitfalls to moral enhancement, he says. One is that science isn't developed enough. The solution to the underdeveloped science isn't to quit on it, but to direct resources to relate research in neuroscience, psychology, or one of the behavioral sciences. Another challenge is that the defectors who need moral enhancement are also the least likely to sign up for it. As some have argued, a solution would be to make moral enhancement compulsory or administer it secretly, perhaps via the water supply. These actions require weighing other values. Does the good of covertly dosing the public with a drug that would change a person's behavior outweigh individuals' autonomy to choose whether to participate? Does the good associated with wearing a mask outweigh an individual's autonomy not to wear one? The scenario in which the government forces an immunity booster upon everyone is plausible, and the military has been forcing enhancements like vaccines or uppers upon soldiers for a long time. The scenario in which the government forces a morality booster upon everyone is far-fetched, but a strategy like this one could be a way out of this pandemic, a future outbreak, or the suffering associated with climate change. That's why we should be thinking of it now. Folks, this is not science fiction. This is what is being promoted by an associate professor of medical ethics, humanities, and law at Western Michigan University. Writing in The Conversation, it's a publication that we've got numerous universities across this nation that are helping to see its success. But now they're talking about morality pills to be the best shot at ending the coronavirus pandemic. And according to this one person, this U.S. professor, the psychoactive pill should be covertly administered to ensure lockdown compliance. Now, friends, we're going to open the lines. I know we've talked about a wide gamut of things today, from the Democratic National Convention to what's going on here with the latest on COVID. But these are things you need to know about. And we open our lines here today at Crosstalk at 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. What do these two topics have to do together? Let me go back to what George Soros said. As he told the Italian newspaper, in an interview, described the virus as a revolutionary moment when the range of possibilities is much greater than in normal times. Can you believe that we have those that are an ethicist talking about tainting our water supply? Putting in our water supply this medication, this drug, that the psychoactive pill to be covertly administered to ensure that people's minds are altered so that they will be in compliance? That they would be in compliance with taking a vaccination or in compliance with lockdowns or those who are opposed to masks, that all of a sudden they'll go into la-la land and think that mask is the next best thing to slice bread? What do you have to say on the issue? 800-733-9829. Let's begin in West Dallas. Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Hey, what's going on? This sounds more like a Friday than a Monday.
Yeah, it does. But these two issues just delve into it. Matter of fact, I had some of this for Friday, and my pile was so big I couldn't bring it up, but it was too important not to address.
Yeah. Well, I guess they're realizing that too many people realize they're being lied to. Fauci's still wrong. And with this morality pill or the drug they want to you know, talking about sticking in the water supply, another mind-altering drug, you know,
yes.
Kind of like you know, the stuff in the 70s and all that people are getting, the hippies are getting high on and
yeah.
stuff. So you can't think straight.
Yeah.
They want to make it so you cannot think straight, so you'll just go along like some kind of a mind-numbed robot.
It's all about control, Brad.
Yeah, and if they admit this, what else does that drug do that we don't know about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people better start thinking, and whenever they get called a name or get shamed for not doing something, when they feel like, this is stupid, I don't want to do it, stick with this is stupid, I don't want to do it, because getting called a name or being shamed is nothing if you give up your freedom or your life and take a drug that's going to hurt you or, you know, keep you kind of mind numb, like I was saying before.
Yeah, and that's what this would do, make you mind numb. And Brad, just to know that a university professor is talking about doing this covertly should shock and alarm all of us.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Lat in Racine, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I don't know where to start, but I just hope, I've been praying for our nation. I've been praying that the Christian church, the born-again Christians, will get out and vote and wake up, because if Trump doesn't get reelected this next 4 years, Jim, people can say goodbye to their First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, their Second Amendment rights as a gun owner. And people got to realize, look up the Democrats' record. Look what they want to do. Look what Biden and this Kamala Harris want to do. They want to turn this into a socialized country, a communist country. And if you give a vote for Biden and you're worried about money over moral values of God's moral values, what this country is created on, we're going to lose this country, and you might as well go live in China, because that's what's going to happen. And I just pray to God that the Christians will wake up and go out and vote for Donald Trump, and we can still save this country before the rapture comes. And that's all I got to say, Jim. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Lat, for your call. Laura in Hollywood, Maryland, you're on the air.
Thank you. It's terrifying to hear that there's this professor talking about covertly trying to put mind-altering drugs in so we submit to the whole vaccine or COVID thing. I mean, this is, like you said, this is not science fiction. This is actually openly being talked about. This
yes.
is nothing, even with the Democratic Party or anything, is being subverted anymore. They are out and open and discussing this and showing their plans. Satan loves to show his hand. He's definitely showing his hand right now.
Laura, thank you for your call here today. Andy is next in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I would like to know if President Donald Trump hears these news reports that you keep bringing up and what his reaction is to them, if he does hear them.
Andy, I highly doubt that President Trump is listening to Crosstalk.
Is there a way that you guys can get this information to him?
It's all the information we share is on the web with the staff that is available there. We have sent him CDs of Crosstalk in the past.
Yeah.
We get a polite thank you. No indication that they have been listened to. But certainly, Andy, I think it would be great for you and people across the nation to be contacting the president to look into the proposal that's coming from this university professor out of Western Michigan.
Can you give that number out for his office later?
Sure, I can do that. I'll give that here momentarily. Thank you for the call here. Yeah, let me just pull open the, the White House the comment line is 202-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111. Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. We'll take more of your calls here in 60 seconds. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. We now have on video Patricia Kaluers, one of the three founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, declaring, quote, "We are Marxist trained," end quote, as if there was any doubt. Yet sadly, new surveys reveal 63% of Americans respect the Black Lives Matter movement. Did you know that Eric Mann, formerly with the Weather Underground, spent a decade
mentoring Patricia Kluwers? Well, what did he stand for? All we have to do is look to the 1974 political manifesto of the Weather Underground to find out. Quote, our final goal is the destruction of imperialism, the seizures of power, and the creation of socialism, end quote. By imperialism, he means the free market system. They go on to talk about using racism, black liberation movement, to seize control of America. Nothing is new under the sun.
Let me just again quote George Soros, in which he said, this is a revolutionary moment when the range of possibilities is much greater than in normal times. That's how we describe the virus. A revolutionary moment. The range of possibilities much greater than at normal times. Now, friends, I just want to give you encouragement as well. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. Okay, God is not having to call an emergency session over this U.S. professor calling for the psychoactive pill to be covertly administered to ensure lockdown compliance. Okay, the Lord's in control. We trust Him and can trust and rest in Him in that regard. We also need to be understanding of what's going on in our times, understanding what has taken place, and the urgency, friends, of, again, getting out the gospel message. Can't you see how time is short? Let's go to Judith, calling from Clarksburg, West Virginia. You're on the air.
Hi. About the COVID, I use hydrogen peroxide to help keep from...
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I'm not going to go into any cures here, and I don't know how you're using it, but let me just say that it's important to have the medicine background in how things are going to be treated. Hydroxychloroquine has been used by a number of doctors in that regard, and I just want to be sure that we're giving out information here that's going to be appropriate here, Judith. And so I don't know how you're administering that or whatever, but it's something I'm not able to go on the air and promote. Bridgeport, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, appreciate you taking my call today. It's really disheartening about the teachers. I actually want to retire from my job in 5 years, and for the last 10 years of me working, I wanted to be a special needs teacher. And I'm afraid that the traditional classroom, it may not ever be again. And that's really, really hurts my feelings, because that's what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, yeah, was work with special needs children. And pretty bad.
I
myself think, hey, if you get into that field and you don't have a love for the kids and to be there for the kids, you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Al, they are suffering great with that out of classroom time, special needs young people. And it is so critical. And we see how much children have suffered as a result of the virtual classroom experience.
Yeah.
And special ed young people, special needs, are suffering even to a greater extent.
Absolutely. Well, got to pray for them. And hey, those kids are important, man. They're getting
indeed
a lot of joy, brother. I won't tell you. I just love them.
Thank you, Al. Mick in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hi, I want to make a statement, and a lot of people may not like it, but I listened to a lot of people calling themselves Christians in 2016 saying they couldn't vote for the president because of this and that, his tweets, he's belligerent, and blah, blah, blah. But now we have a record. He's clearly standing with Christians, and he has done more for Christians probably than any president. He's been more pro-life than any president. And if anyone tells me they're a Christian and they do not vote for President Trump, I question your salvation. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your thoughts, Mick. Lois is next. Pine Knot, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. This thing that they're talking about, putting in the water for the mind, you know what? The Bible first tells us that we have the right to say yes or no. And for them to do something like this, don't you be afraid your own children would get a hold of it, or them?
Okay, well, let me just say, Lois, here, as I heard you break off, that there is nobody doing that at this time. This is a professor that is encouraging this for its consideration. We need to be talking about this, because there are people who are not cooperating in this whole COVID manner.
Oh, yeah, I know. There's people right here where I live. Now, I live amongst 30 acres of trees, so I ain't worried about nobody coming up here giving me anything.
Okay, thank you, Lois. Thank you. Martin, Menominee Falls, you're on the air.
Yes, my name is Martin William McKillen III, and I have what's your opinion of the thing about cooperating with the government versus making everybody safe, and also what is going to make us moral is not going to take us from a psychiatric pill or a psychopathic pill, but following what the Bible says and then the Christian life.
Okay, thank you. And I find it interesting that they're calling this a morality pill as the immorality goes on and on and on across our nation. Let's go to John in Berrigan, Michigan. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. All the people, the teachers or the schools who are so hateful of homeschooling, now they're all in favor of people staying at home, and they love the schools for the, quote, socialization act. Act of, you know, being social. Now it's okay for the kids to stay home. Yeah. Unbelievable. That's it. Thank you so much for your patience.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Dan in Pasco, Washington, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah, I'm old enough that this sounds like an old, bad B-rated movie from the 60s. I mean, do they not this guy needs to be removed from his position as a university guy, because don't they realize that once they've got to that there, then they can administer you name it. They basically could say, you know, you need to give up your guns too. And guess what? We're going to inject you with a anti-abortion thing in there. They want to control everything. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan. Christine, Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
The tragedy that I'm seeing, Jim, is that Christians will not give a clear, cogent presentation of the gospel for fear, not understanding the times, or not caring, and fear rules. Fear rules, and we're going to be held greatly accountable for the positions that we're in and being unwilling to present the only hope, and we see how quickly things are hurtling towards the coming of our Lord.
Thank you, Christine. And our final call from Tennessee, Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I got three verses that come to my mind. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And then let God be true, and every man a liar. And he says also, if he would not have shortened those days, no flesh would have been spared. And it seems like we're heading down that road.
It does.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Merle. And to all of you, thank you for your calls here today. And friends, I trust that, again, that this burdens your heart to be praying for the election, to be praying for the times in which we live. There are such critical matters that are before us. We had just a great day of prayer at Trail Ridge Camp this past Saturday to those who came and joined as we really petitioned the Lord on so many different matters. And friends, we encourage you daily to be spending time in prayer for this election, be praying in regard to the coronavirus and the many, many issues, but be praying that people's eyes would be open to the truth of God's Word. Our time is gone. Thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.